When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
Never trust a man in a bum bag.
Jay Cross.
Hi.
And Matthew Knight.
Hello there.
And on this week's episode, we're going to be talking about our time at the Guitar Show UK in Birmingham this weekend just gone. And we're going to be taking a load of questions from the Guitar Nerds Facebook group to join the discussion. You can follow the links in the description of this podcast or visit facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. And before we get started, I want to introduce a couple of new patrons that we have had on the Guitar Nerds Patreon thing. You can join that as well on patreon.com/guitar nerds. Patreon.
Are you okay?
Thing. Yeah, Patreon platform. Patreon.
He's tired. He had a long Patreon day yesterday.
Yeah, it was a long day.
He had to do a dev work. I feel bad for both of you. You had to leave your house.
No, it wasn't that. Mark, it was that I went out after I got back. That was the worst.
Where did
thing.
You go out in Angmering?
Oh, I just met Emma at the pub, to be honest. But, you know, I needed to let loose.
Sure.
And they have good deals on whiskies.
Okay, good to know.
And I got whiskies as well. I was given whiskies at the guitar show, so. Anyway.
All I wanted to do was get home and shower. Yeah. After spending 2 days at the guitar show, I was like, I feel like I'm unclean.
Yeah. Yes, it'll certainly do that. Anyway, I want to introduce our new patrons, the incredibly named Vincent Swan. That's a real strong
good name.
Yeah, really good
that
name.
A great name.
And then Schultzy. Schultzy's just gone for the one name.
Brilliant.
But
he's
also
the
good.
Only one namer, I think.
Also good. Yeah, no, there are plenty of one names. Like Will Clare has only got Will down. I had to, you know, hunt to find his surname.
The Tone Mob podcast. That's one.
No, yeah, Blake trying to get us to advertise the Tone Mob podcast entering himself as the Tone Mob podcast.
No chance.
No, we don't advertise. We don't promote the lesser podcasts on this podcast. Anyway. Yeah,
because there aren't any lesser.
No.
Literally, the bottom of the barrel.
Don't get any lesser than this,
yeah.
Mate.
Anyway, it was the UK guitar show up in Birmingham. I think maybe the first one that you haven't come to, Jay, because you were at a wedding this time round.
I went to a wedding.
Boo.
The wedding band.
I went to a wedding in London, and the band. It was a very strange lineup. So there was 6 people in the band.
Right. I look forward to a good wedding band. Seeing what gear they have. They normally have good guitars.
Yes, they do normally have good guitars or good amps or, you know, just any guitars at all, actually.
They're the only people that can afford it. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, that's it. But no, basically, this wedding band was a drummer. You know, fine. Makes sense.
Right.
Keyboard player. Yeah, okay, fine. With 2 keyboards.
Ooh, nice.
A saxophonist.
Lovely.
Okay, yeah. Interesting, yeah. And oh, mate, they didn't play Ken.
What?
I know.
Why else would you have a saxophone player?
The whole time
I was
like,
song.
He's got that. That geezer is absolutely jonesing for when they play Careless. Is that Careless Whisper?
Yeah.
Absolutely jonesing for that. But no, didn't happen. And then 3 vocalists, no guitar, no bass. It was so weird.
What were they doing? Was one of the vocalists like humming the bass line?
No. The keyboard player was actually fantastic. So the keyboard player was playing keyboard with one hand and then playing like bass synth, I guess.
One of the vocalists was actually Scatman John.
Yeah, skibbity bitty bop bada bop. Bop bada bop.
I guess it's cheaper to have a keyboard player who's also the bass player, unless he was getting paid twice.
Yeah, but then you've got, there was also three vocalists.
Oh, yeah.
Three very different vocalists. So, yeah, no, it was good. It was quite an eclectic.
Was it like Black Eyed Peas?
Did they play a Black Eyed Peas song? I feel like they maybe did. I don't know. I got quite
pissed. They played My Humps?
Don't think so.
Did they play...
Tonight's Gonna Be a Good Night? I think they played that song. Yeah. What's that song called? Is that called Tonight?
No, it's called...
A Good Night.
That's gonna be a good night.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Tonight's the night.
We'll set the party.
Party.
It up.
Good.
Let's the town. Shut it down.
Wedding.
Up through the roof. And then we'll do it again.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Anyway,
what's that song called?
I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, basically at one point, I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but... whether they started so they started playing some like kind of like drum and bassy type stuff, like, you know, songs that you know, but they were very much like drum and bassy songs. And I don't know whether he was like someone had had a word with the band or what, but my cousin, whose wedding it was, basically his mate just appeared to like get up on stage and get the mic and just started emceeing. Like, it was a very East End London wedding, which is where they're from, and it was funny. It was a good night, really good night.
No, that's one of the
The biggest benefit of it all was it meant that I had a legitimate excuse not to hang out with you guys.
Exactly.
I really like the Birmingham Guitar Show.
You normally have to drive us there and back.
I normally have to drive you there and back, which
means you can't drink.
Which means I can't drink. So you know, that's fine, but. Yeah, no, didn't do it.
Oh, well, we certainly went. So Matt had already been up, I think, maybe 2 days previous, because it was a Saturday and the Sunday. We only did the Sunday. Matt was already up because obviously he had to build the boss booth. And then me and Mark headed up on the Sunday for a day of it. Mark, you had enough by about three and left, but I stayed for the whole thing. yeah. But it was, as usual, very good. I like the Birmingham show. Half because there's a bar, and it's important for a guitar show to
have a bar. It's important for you.
Is there? I didn't know there was a bar.
Yeah, there's a bar.
All right.
Yeah, it was good. Surprisingly expensive, but, you know, whatever. I claim expenses.
That's all you ever spend money on anyway.
Exactly.
So it's fine.
The food menu was exactly the same. Chips.
Oh, was it?
Samosas.
Chickpea curry. Yeah.
Lovely. That, I mean, it's really good.
But the line is massive, and they don't inform you that it's cash only until you've got your food.
Love it.
As one of my colleagues found out when he tried to get food for everyone.
Oh. Also, especially at an event like that where loads of people are there for business and will have business cards.
Well, I mean, who carries cash anyway?
Well, yeah.
But yes, so it was a very good show. It was an especially good show this year. I thought it was a wonderful turnout by the big brands. There were quite a few exciting products that had, you know, landed at the start of the year anyway from the big brands that go there, like Orange and Boss, and Reverend, I guess, as well. But also a lot of the smaller brands had some really fantastic stuff, and there were a few new brands there. And, you know, sometimes these shows can be a little bit of a repeat year after year with the same people in the same spots, but this was a really excellent, refreshing year. So I guess let's go through a few of them and our best bits from this year's guitar show. I guess we started off Mark Pack, and when we turned up, we went straight over to we popped to the Fidelity stand first of all, didn't we? And checked out the new. There's a new Fidelity with just a neck pickup, which is very interesting. After releasing the Stella Rosa, which has
the Stella Rosa Junior, just
the middle pickup, they've now done a JB. I think it's a JB, unless it's a double standard. I'm always unsure which way around that is. With just a neck pickup P90, and it was that looked fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of feel like if you're going to go for one pickup, put it in the bridge.
Well,
but Jay and I were talking about this earlier. As we're getting older, we are definitely.
So I've been saying this for a couple of years, and you keep telling me I'm an idiot.
I'm definitely valuing the neck pickup more and more.
Right.
On certain guitars. And we'll talk about it. I guess, when are we going to talk about the guitar that you bought around?
I don't know. Maybe next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. Neck pickups are all right.
Yeah.
I tell you what I'm all in for. 2020.
Yeah.
Music Master. That's what I want. Don't even worry about the bridge pickup anymore.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm excited by that. I think if you have like a thin enough sounding pickup in the neck position, then it's kind of suitably clangy. You get kind of you get the depth that you get from a neck pickup, but if it's single coily enough, then it's still.
Oh, I'm talking about single coil. Yeah, I'm talking about a single coil.
That's what I'm talking about. The Music Master has that. It's a very, very sort of, you know, low output, single coil, singly sounding pickup in the neck position. That's cool.
Or maybe
what's the other one?
Swinger.
Swinger, that was it. I was going to say Marauder.
Nope, Marauder
that's
was...
no pickups.
Yeah, that's got no... Yeah.
Well, it has actually got three pickups. But
the Swinger, there was those swingers that... surfaced at
they were Japanese made, right?
They were Fender Japan
because they did the best color in the world.
Yeah, Shell Pink
Burgundy Mist.
Sorry,
ugh.
What?
Ugh. Anyway,
it's not that good of a color. In fact, no,
it's only a couple of shades away from Shell Pink.
Were you about to say it's the worst color, Matt?
No, actually, I was going to talk about. I was on the Reverend website earlier, and they actually have a colour very similar, which looks much better.
Yeah, Burgundy Mist. What is their one called? I can't remember. Something.
Burgundy Mist.
But it's a colour they use. Reverend use Burgundy Mist quite commonly. It's often a colour available, certainly on a lot of their bases that I've been checking out. Their
Mulberry Mist.
That was it. Yeah, Mulberry Mist,
which is slightly more pink.
I think it's very Burgundy Mist-esque. They do it on their... They do a wonderful single-cut hollow-body short-scale set-neck bass, which is absolutely fantastic. It's like it's called something like the Dub Master, and it's very cool. No one's going to check that for me, so I'll do that myself.
I thought you were typing.
Dub King. Thank you very much, Matt. Dub King.
It's a great looking bass as well.
It's a fantastic looking bass, but yes, they do offer that colour across the board. Anyway, kind of continuing with our route round the guitar show, we went over to the Ashdown basses stand.
Yeah.
This year to check out. It was the first time I'd got a chance to check out these new Dan Lakin co-designed basses. So we got to have a bit of a go on those. So I demoed the Low Rider. Which
I think
is
you played all of them, didn't you?
Fender Bird. Ooh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Ooh. Low Rider was very, very cool. Ooh, obviously excited. Massive.
That's a great bass.
Very cool. Two 8-pole pickups. A little bit too zingy for me.
It's very much sound wise, it's in Music Man territory, yeah, I guess.
Absolutely. It didn't. Because when I was at NAMM, I played the one that...
You played the red one that had flats.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that would offer it the balance it needs, but with rounds, yeah, it was a little bit zingy. The Saint, which is their completely unique shape.
Yeah. Yeah, which is...
PJ pickup.
Yeah, I don't really know how to describe it, really. It's kind of like offset... it's a unique body shape, I suppose.
Yeah.
I quite like it. I think that for me, the most impressive was the third one, which was, I mean, it's just a jazz bass, basically.
That's right. I think they called that one the Grail.
Okay.
The Grail is the...
Yeah. And actually, out of all of them, I thought that sounded the best. But then, you know, I love Fender basses, so yeah. I prefer that to the Music Man style one that they had. And also, I mean, this is just me, but I don't like PJs. And the middle one that you tried... was PJ. Yeah. And I know you don't have to use the back pickup, but I mean, why even put it there?
I do like that sound, actually. I think that jazz pickup adds some clarity to an otherwise quite clangy instrument.
Yeah.
But I understand why you wouldn't want one. Yes, the jazz bass style one I thought was fantastic. It very much felt exactly like a Lakland, which were, you know, incredibly high quality, excellent, you know, jazz and peace style basses.
Yeah, I guess
it's certainly been incredibly popular in the past.
It falls in line with the kind of Skyline series, doesn't it? Which were the lower end ones of the Lakeland basses.
And these are Korean made as well. So they've managed to keep the price down whilst keeping the quality up. So you're looking at, like, in pounds, you're looking at around 900 quid for any of these, which is a great price for something that we know is coming from a wonderful factory. And has, you know, someone like Dan Lakin behind them. So they are very cool. It was also interesting to check out the Ant, which was their... Everyone's getting on this. This was a common theme from this year. Pedal board amplifiers.
Oh, I didn't even see this.
I think we mentioned maybe in Gear of the Year or something that we felt like 2020 was going to be the year for this.
Success of, like, the Milkman amp.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, just the idea of, I guess, kind of digital amps... Digital, like, all-in-one solutions like Helix or whatever, being able to be pedal board friendly, that will inevitably lead to people saying, actually, I really agree, this is very convenient, but what I still want is a valve.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, the thing about bass amps is, like, to be honest, because of the technology they use,
That isn't a pedal board amp, that's a pocket amp. You put it in your back pocket.
There are two. Big. It depends which. So they do do. They also do a headphone preamp as well. So I hope you're not. Okay.
No, I'm looking at the amp. The thing about bass amps is because the technology is very different to guitar amps, where, you know, generally people want valves and stuff. I kind of feel like bass heads are small enough that you could sort of put any of them on a pedal board anyway. Like,
that's true.
What was that? The tiny Mark bass one as well.
Right, yeah.
And the Trace Elliot one's really small as well.
The Elf was the Trace Elliot one. Yeah.
The only problem is obviously the controls are like on the front face rather than on the top.
Yeah.
So I can imagine Mark bass doing one much like this ant and just basically making a little mark, but the controls they put on the top of it rather than on the front.
I thought this was a fantastic idea. The ant had, you know, you had the 3-band EQ and then they'd added a couple of additional controls. I think there was a mid shift in there and a couple of other basics. So nothing as expansive as like the ABM or Rootmaster series, where you've got things like the Ashdown Octaver, the compressor and the valve driver. It was very basic, but it's 200 watts, which, you know, even though that's, we're talking about solid state 200 watts, that's still a Class D 200 watts rather. It's still enough for a small show.
It looks super neat. I'm annoyed that I didn't see it at the show. I didn't even notice it was there. That's how small it is.
Yeah, no,
didn't even see it.
I had a go on it. I thought it was fantastic. Very cool. But yeah, really interesting product. And I saw a few more pedal amps across the event, which I guess we'll get to at some point. Now, from there, and this is something, Matt, I think you checked out as well. Maybe we all checked out together. We went over to the Music Man stand, always representing very well because they have such a fantastic range of guitars. But of course, the one thing that I think caught everyone's eye this time was the pink Valentine signature.
Indeed. Yeah, I think it's part of a thing they're doing now where I think every year there's like a couple of new colours come out for all of the models. And I think it's, I don't know whether it's just for a year only. It's not actually showing on their website yet. But yeah, I think we did talk about it briefly before a few weeks ago. But yeah, Shell Pink, and they also had the Sunburst one there as well. The nice thing about the Shell Pink, it was a very subtle pink. It wasn't totally over the top, but yeah, I actually thought that the Sunburst one looked really good just because of the wood they'd used. They're obviously using a really nice piece of ash.
Yeah, it was a lovely, very figured piece of ash that looked fantastic.
So it looked amazing. I actually thought that was kind of almost felt like something they maybe should have done from the beginning, because I think it kind of lends itself to that kind of Fendery vibe that you know, James Valentine was going for when he designed the guitar. You know, it's half Tele, sort of half 335.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it did look really, really good in pink. And again, you know, just great bits of flame maple on the neck, just really well built. You know, it's no change from the normal Valentine, just apart from the color. But yeah, there was a couple of good ones, and they had that crazy new one. What was the new one in pink they had
the,
in there as
the
well?
The short scale Cutlass. With the single coil in the neck and the humbucker in the bridge, which looked fantastic. We actually disagreed on that a bit, Matt, because I was a massive fan of that. You weren't as into that.
I am not into that, actually.
But that's absolutely what I want, is short scale, but, you know, having those sort of Music Man looks with a short scale length. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought it looked good in pink, but I don't know, the kind of offset like look of it with the humbucker and the single coil just didn't really do it for me.
Fair enough. I thought it was incredibly cool. But yeah, it was a great selection of stuff from Music Man. Again, like, you know, nothing especially new there that we hadn't already seen. A few of the newer things that were announced at NAMM haven't quite landed over here yet, so we didn't get to see them.
They had the Sabres there though, and I actually tried. I tried one a couple of weeks ago when I was at Rabir's. They'd sent him one for review, and I thought it was a great guitar. I thought if you really wanted something different from Music Man, you wanted something with two humbuckers. It's a bit rocky, but it's not like the output of the JP or even the, you know, the Steve Lukather. I thought the Sabre was an absolutely killer guitar to go for.
Yeah, it definitely was. One thing I was really impressed with there were the new Moore pedals. They're 7 series.
It was hard to get you away from those. I needed to say bye to you when I was going. You were just like, buried in the Moore demo.
Yeah, that's right. They had a little pedal board together of the new series, and this was the best idea, I think, that Moore have had in a while. Because obviously, when the GE300 came out, and the GE300 was their version of the Moore Helix, essentially, the one thing that Moore had done with the GE300, which was different from all the other big multi-effects amp solutions, was they had that synthesizer.
Yeah.
They had that wasn't imitating anything. It was just, here are all your basic bits of a synthesizer. Now you can use this to build any sound through the various oscillators and envelopes.
Yeah.
They have now parted up bits of the GE300 onto individual micro pedals, including a synth pedal, which they've done, which is capable of, and these were fantastic. So each of these mini pedals has, and they're called, like, you know, there's the E7, which is the synth, the R7, which is the reverb, the D7, which is the delay.
Now
the
E7 ambience.
Yeah.
I was just having a look at these. So these appear to have totally passed. Sorry, Joe, to cut across.
No, go for it.
But these appear to have totally slipped by me. Having a look, the E7 came out in October.
Yeah, I felt really bad because I was sort of like, oh, these new pedals are great. And
they were very much
like, these aren't new.
Didn't we talk about their tone capture pedal?
We talked about that on, was it on the pedal or no? Because the new amp does that, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because obviously one of their mini ones is, it captures the sound of the guitar, so it's supposed to do what the Kemper does, but for guitars.
So you could get a telly, but then play
I've watched a few of the reviews, and I don't think it works particularly well. But I like the idea that they've done for things like the E7. You know, a synthesizer obviously doesn't need a special pickup, but you can have presets on it.
Yeah, these were...
with the size, I thought that was pretty cool.
These were very good. The reason they've gone for the suffix of 7 on these pedals is that down the side of this mini pedal is 7 tiny little buttons, and they are 7 presets for each of the pedals.
Oh, yeah, weird.
Yeah, fantastic. But the thing is, if you've got something on there that you're not a big fan of, you can hit that save button on there on whatever you've made and save it over the preset. So you've got the ability to... Admittedly, you need, obviously, your thumb to get down there to flick through any of the presets, but you can essentially save 7 of your own completely unique sounds onto.
I like that. So just having a look on the A7, and there's only 5 controls. So you've got the save button, and then there's 5 controls. So you've got mix, decay, tone, X, which I assume is a parameter that varies depending on which. No, it can't, because it's...
It might be a crossover.
What, between?
Or it might be that button's redundant. You know.
No.
Don't use it.
And then the other control is chaos.
So it sounds
wicked.
Fantastic. And I thought these pedals sounded absolutely brilliant, just sort of out of the box, like, you know, just sort of flicking through the presets and trying to make weird sounds. The synth was great. The reverb pedal I had lots of fun on. It, you know, you had all the sort of shimmery, you know, big expansive sounds, which was wonderful in such a tiny unit for less than £100. I thought was really good. I was just really impressed with that range. That was a lot of features to get into a small pedal for not a lot of dosh. So very,
yeah, they're
very
like
cool.
Less than £100.
Yeah,
seems pretty good.
Yeah, really cool products. Now from there, Matt, we went and checked out Vuren Saku guitars. Which we have done before, and you certainly met them at NAMM.
Yeah, I just wanted to introduce you to them. Obviously, I've been speaking to them at every sort of guitar show. I met them at Fuzz Show last year.
Fuzz, that was it.
In Gothenburg. Then we were at Guitar Summit together. And then, then at Birmingham. And they did have a guitar at NAMM. They donated, or they worked with TV Jones to do a guitar. And it was cool. He's got one dealer in the UK, and that's Coda Music, and they've got a few of his guitars in stock, so he went and picked them up and had them on display there.
Yeah.
And they were cool to finally see, because obviously when I met him at Fuzz, I was like, oh, have you ever built a pink guitar? And he said no, and I said, oh, you should really build a pink one, because pink is clearly the best and most ultimate color. he built one for Coda Music, and he was like, you need to go and check it out. And then he brought it to the show, so we got to play it, and it was great. It had a really kind of like thick kind of like 50s Teddy style neck. It almost felt like playing a Baja, but it had a humbucker and then a single coil in it.
Yeah.
Sorry, a P90 in the neck and then a single coil in the bridge. But yeah, it was just, you know, great. And it was cool to see his sort of take on like an offset design, but obviously that German carve looked wicked.
Well, that's it. I mean, to a listener who hasn't seen a Virensaku, they are offset, I guess, kind of mini Jaguar shapes, but then they have a very deep German carve in them, and normally not the case on the pink one, but they also have binding after the German carve, so incredibly
is the binding detailed. On the top or the bottom of the carve,
so it's German carve binding and then the rest of the finish. The pink one's not bound, but normally there would be a line of binding after the German carve.
What do you mean? You mean so it goes down and after the transition? If you're looking at the top of the guitar, after the transition, it's bound around
bound.
That. Okay, gotcha.
That's right. Yeah, the pink one certainly wasn't, but they had another one, which was my favourite, that was there, that had an even thicker neck than the pink fella. There was a green one with a gorgeous brown binding after the carve.
Joe, did you know they do basses?
I do know that they do basses. They do a bass in the same shape. They do also do some flat finish. It's not always with a German carve, but certainly the ones that are most memorable. And they do a bass in both shapes as well.
Yeah, this one I'm looking at now is kind of like...
more Reverend-esque, their other ones.
Yeah, I mean, this one actually doesn't look that far off like a Jazz, but instead of the top horn being kind of extended, it's kind of stubby almost. Yeah. Almost like a... it looks like a telly, actually, right. That the top, where the top horn would be, is actually like a, it is like a kind of telly top horn instead. So, the bass looks really cool. Single pickup. I'm all about that. They're just like, we could do a Jazz and it could have two pickups or just one pickup in the middle. Much
superfluous.
Better.
Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah. Just the old 51P bass pickup makes an appearance in a lot of the basses.
Yeah.
They were absolutely super cool. The one I said was like an army drab green was actually painted with an actual tin of real Swiss army paint that Saku had obtained to finish the guitar in.
Some of their stuff looks amazing. I'm just on the site now. I know we talked about their stuff before, but they do those kind of Jaguar style guitars that have the controls on the bridge itself. Yeah.
Well, they've certainly built a fuzz into the bridge.
You're right. Got it.
Of one of the
I
think the one, maybe you're looking at the one that has a built-in fuzz.
There's
in
a few
position.
Actually. It looks like there's a few guitars that they've done it on. It's it all looks super cool.
Yeah, they were very cool indeed.
This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergold Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergold Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggel and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original.
And the other thing that we checked out alongside the Virensaku guitars was the Greuter.
I think we just decided it's Greuter.
Greuter effects that were displaying with Virensaku, and they were absolutely fantastic. Matt, you've actually got a fuzz by them already.
Yes, I have a couple actually, which we talked about. One I got at Fuzz Guitar Show, and then one I got at Guitar Summit. And while I was there, I tried out the Wah pedal, which is awesome. And he had one on display and for demo at the show, and it's really good. It's just a really, really well voiced Wah. It's just really vocal. It's really punchy when you use it with drive, and it works really well with Fuzz. And the one that he had on display was wicked because it was relic'd.
It was a relic'd Wah. It was very cool.
And he's not actually making many of the Wahs at the moment. But he's going down to the point where he's actually making the enclosures himself.
Oh, really? They looked very Jim Dunlop-y, the enclosures.
Yeah, I think he said he'd been sourcing a few of those and he couldn't get the ones that he wanted. So he was looking at sort of trying to produce his own one. So he had them on display and I think he was taking orders, but you couldn't actually buy one of the ones there because they're his sort of own demo ones. But yeah, it's a really great pedal with some really, really good tweaks on it. I mean, everything he makes is amazing. I've really, really fallen in love with his sort of Univibe style pedal.
Yeah.
Because it's got an onboard gain control. So it's got kind of, you can really like, you know, push a little bit of output, run it at the front and actually use it to boost other drive pedals as well.
More importantly, Matt, where is that onboard gain control?
On the side.
On the side. But
so you can... two controls on the side, two controls
but
on the
But it's a huge knob. Yeah. So the pedal
so you
itself
can roll
is...
it with your foot.
Well, I guess you
whilst
could.
You're playing. I assume that's the point of it.
I think
it doesn't make it particularly pedalboard friendly. No. Well, I suppose it'll be this likely to be first, so it probably be all right. But it means they do it so that you can control
it. I guess you
it.
Could roll it. But
you just got to play barefoot and then just wedge your big toe in there and
fit it
with the knob.
There are two controls there on the side, so it'd be difficult to sort of isolate between the two. So maybe it's just aesthetic, but I guess you could
get
it.
Are you not dexterous enough for your toes?
Yeah, I guess you'd
Mate,
have
you
to,
need to
be barefoot, wouldn't you? Very much
no,
so.
No.
Just
I wear webbed shoes.
Ah, webbed shoes. That's the answer. Those shoes with toes.
Yeah, sorry. That's absolutely not the same thing, is it? Yeah.
Aren't they?
Toe shoes.
I wear
toe shoes. Yeah.
Of course
you
do. Toe shoes, but yes, because the knobs are so big on the side of the Vibe pedal, they have to make the pedal itself really deep. So it was like the deepest pedal. It was like a flan. You know, it's just
a quiche.
Yeah, it was like a quiche. It was just really deep. I mean, I was taking pictures of just how deep that pedal was. Matt, I was getting you to hold it.
So that sounded. I just switched off and switched in a bit to that, and it was like, just got you to hold it. It was really big. Whoa!
But yes, the Vibe pedal was brilliant, an incredibly unique enclosure, I think.
Yeah. He's definitely one of those sort of. For me, at the moment, he's kind of underrated brand. It doesn't have any distribution in. In the UK, I think you can only really find them as only a couple of dealers out there, and he's based in Switzerland. I think even at the moment, he's just taking orders over email. I mean, obviously, we were talking about Dan Drive Pedals, where he just takes orders over Instagram. So I'm sure it's no problem for some people out there. But yeah, definitely worth checking out. There's a few demos out there, but he really goes to town with his circuit designs.
And a whole range of pink pedals as well.
Yes. He had less of the rainbow at Birmingham, just because I think it was a little bit difficult for him to fly it all in from Switzerland. But yeah,
big taxes on rainbows.
Yeah. Well, UK. I think the difficult thing is getting anything out of Switzerland, actually. But at Guitar Summit, he had a whole rainbow. I think he had 150 pedals there in all the colours of the rainbow, including he does stuff in gold leaf.
150
as well,
pedals?
Mm-hmm.
Crikey.
Well, he makes about 8 different models, but it had multiples of those.
Yeah, it was certainly a very colourful display. But yeah, really, really cool pedals from Goiter's. Definitely, listener, check them out if you can. They were incredibly cool. Now, we went over to James's Home of Tone as well, the stand of James's Home of Tone, probably the coolest guitar shop in the UK at the moment.
I couldn't even get there. I wasn't with you guys at that point. I couldn't get to the stand because there were so many people around it. I couldn't get near it. It's incredibly busy.
It was a really good looking booth. I think one of the best looking booths of the entire show, actually.
Yeah, really nice. And he always has that kind of almost sort of living room vibe to it. I like
literally
it a lot.
Literally, it's home of tone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there were a lot of things there. Now, you actually bought something from the James's Home of Tone stand, Matthew Knight.
I did. I bought a Mother Mary strap straight out of St. Louis in the USA. And it's basically made out of an old grandma's curtain. it was brilliant. I just saw it and I was like, that would look great on a pink guitar. And I just went back and I bought it. They're really, really well built straps. Unfortunately, not one for Jay or Joe, because
made
they
of
are
meat.
Leather.
No. Yeah, and I follow them on Instagram because I really like the stuff that they do.
Yeah, they look fantastic.
Yeah, they do some really cool stuff. But yes,
James's Home.
Just a shame they're not very.
James's Home of Tone do actually do a range of cork straps as well. I can't remember the brand of straps
cork,
they do.
Blimey.
Yeah, they're cork. Some vegan-friendly cork straps.
The entire strap
nice.
Made out of cork.
Yes. Yes.
that sounds like the sort of weird excuse you would come up with. Like, Emma goes away for a weekend and she comes home and she's like, Joe, why is there wine bottles everywhere? And you're just like, I've been making straps, love. been making straps.
Right, I don't think I'd be that drunk. Oh, well, I wouldn't need that many corks.
Can I see them? No.
I wouldn't need that many corks for the length of strap that I require.
But, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I wanted to buy one of the cork straps, but the shortest they'll go is 42 inches, and I'm afraid I need 39.
Such an idiot. I hate you.
But just if you haven't seen them, I was going to say, if you haven't seen them, the actual Mother Mary straps, they've got a Reverb page and every single strap is amazing.
Yeah.
Including the one that's made out of cat prints. So it's just pictures of cats, which is really good.
I'm in. Where do I find it?
Awesome shirts. Looks like someone's, got some sort of like lumberjack shirts. There's some sort of neon splatter ones. They're really good. They're really good straps. They looked awesome, but the floral ones were class, and I think they actually do a tropical floral one. Looks like an old Hawaiian shirt. I'm just like, want them all.
Yeah,
just gonna have to slowly replace all of my straps with
very
these ones.
You.
I've gone with cream straps for years, and because I'm just like, cream goes everything. Now,
cream,
like,
see,
no.
Cream's too difficult for me because I definitely spill Guinness on it.
Mm. I only like black straps.
All right, Goth.
No, you need to go to Mother Mary.
Black strap molasses.
They are much better.
Yeah, you can get one called Third Grade Picture Day, which is, I assume, like made of a shirt that a child might wear on Third Grade Picture Day. They've got some pretty esoteric stuff.
Yeah, they're very cool and very much the sort of thing that you expect to see at James's Home of Tone. James has an acute ability for finding kind of the weirdest, most high quality stuff in the guitar world. Like, there's always odd stuff, but it's always incredibly artisan, all the stuff that he gets. And speaking of which, my favorite thing, almost my favorite thing at the show, but not quite, because there was something we'll talk about later that was my favorite thing at the show, but almost my favorite thing at the show, were the millimetric guitars that James's Home of Tone have. And it was my first time getting to really spend some time with a millimetric guitar. I think we've seen them before. I can't remember if we have. Maybe it's my first time seeing a millimetric guitar and playing them. But James brought his own, which is in a kind of a metallic copper sort of finish. And there was also the black single cut with the gold lipstick style pickups in there. And my goodness, it was one of the best guitars I've ever played. It was one of my favorite playing experiences. You know, that was an absolutely wonderful guitar. The attention to detail and the build quality is like nothing else. I've never seen anything built to such a high quality as the millimetric guitars.
Can I please ask the important question? The question on everyone's lips.
Yeah.
Did you see the case?
I did see the case. They did bring a case. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So listener, if you've not heard us talk about it before, millimetric guitars have their cases made by a gun case maker. So these are so guns, I guess, come in big, deep cases that have the insides cut out around, specifically around the shape of the guitar for it to drop in perfectly. And this very much has that for the millimetric, for the guitars. And Oh, it's just, it was the perfect case for it because it was minimal, but, you know, incredibly high quality, and it just suited the guitar down to the ground. So a very, very cool sort of case to match the guitar. But awesome instruments. I love them. I love the Perspex control panel on the back so that you can see through into that control cavity. The way the neck runs the whole way down into the body, and you can see the bolt joint from the back. Just, you know, everything from the grain of the wood to the incredibly unique monorail bridge pieces, the type of knobs they're using, and the pickups, like nothing that you'd ever seen before. Sort of lipstick pickups in sort of strangely large cylindrical covers.
Yeah.
In kind of a dirty gold. Very cool.
Yeah, I just, as soon as I played it, I was like, you can just... It was a really resonant guitar. It just sounded really good.
Yeah.
Like, unplugged.
Weighed nothing.
Yeah, it was really light, and it just... The setup was great. You know, it had that real... It was just a really refreshing guitar to play. I know it sounds weird, but considering just, you know, how many guitars you can play that all feel relatively similar, like this one felt like in a total league of its own. And I just love the way that they just looks different to anything else.
Yeah.
And actually, really reasonably priced. I think they start at $2,500, depending on what sort of spec you want. But yeah. I think you can have sort of pretty much anything. But I was like, these are great. These are, yeah, absolutely well worth checking out. And if you can't check one out, then
just buy one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just buy one.
That's it. We've spoken about them before. They do a range of shapes, but my favorite one is the double cut they do, where all the controls and the input jack run completely down the middle of the guitar, making it an ambidextrous instrument that can be strung either way, which is very, very, very cool.
Forwards or backwards?
Yes, forwards or backwards. But they
front
were
side
they
or
were
top wise.
And always turning.
I don't know what's happening. But yes, they certainly, it was one of my favourite things there. So from there, we then went over
something
to
like
the
that.
We went to the Reverend stand, Mark and We'd, Matt, which where we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, for me, best looking stand of the event.
I mean, probably the most amount of guitars of any stand at the event.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of when I say best looking stand, actually, James's Home of Tone, and also shout out to Fidelity for both bringing items along that seem to be from their living rooms to just make it. And when I spoke to Matt from Fidelity, he did say, yes, this armchair on the stand is literally from my living room and I've brought it to the show. But in terms of the actual, you know, the products on display, you know, how many guitars were there from Reverend? Maybe
probably
30 50. Or 40? Yeah, yeah, 40 maybe.
Yeah, a lot.
And they're just such great looking guitars.
He had 40 guitars.
Something like that, yeah.
I think he had more than that. I think they bought almost everything they have in stock.
It was so
Reverend. So Reverend.
Sorry, I thought you were still talking about Fidelity.
Oh, no.
Matt has made 40 guitars.
No, he had 4 guitars.
Right, okay. Yes. Sorry.
So Reverend obviously weren't there as the brand necessarily. It was Reverend with Merchant City Music, who obviously we've spoke about before, store based in Glasgow. They are the largest Reverend dealer in the world. They bought pretty much their entire shop down with them. When I was talking to Richard, the owner, he was like, we basically didn't leave anything in the shop. And they'd bought multiples of those, and they were literally every time I turned round, because they were next to us, they were selling one or two guitars. They probably did one of the best out of the entire show.
They were doing show prices across the board on all of their guitars, and I couldn't believe you were looking at, you know, we were looking at one of those the pink single pickup Torque Guard things that Matt, you actually ended up getting. They were going for something like $699.
Yeah.
Well, that's their normal price.
Oh, is it?
That's their normal price. Yeah. So I mean, everything that they had on everything they had on display was at their shop prices. And then I'm guessing they were doing some deals. They did a deal for one of the guys that I work with bought the 3P90.
Charger 390, I think.
Yes,
that's what
he bought one of those. They did him a great deal on that. And yeah, when I when we got there, and I said hello to Richard, because we've obviously spoke to him before. They helped us out when we did the Billy Corgan, which was a number of years ago now, when we reviewed that. And yeah, they were like, they asked, oh, have you got the foam shrimp pink guitar here? And it had the 3P90s. They had them in, they'd done some in blue, and then they just kept pulling out all these guitars. Then they pulled out the Matt West signature, which I don't know if we ever spoke about when it was actually launched. But this is a single P90 guitar with a Wilkinson trem. Now, that usually comes in powder yellow or midnight black, but they had a shell pink one there, or foam shrimp pink, should I say, one there, which the specs were slightly different. And I think that's because Merchant City also can spec their own guitars. And they'd spec that particular one with a Palfaro fretboard. So it was a dark roasted maple, because a lot of people thought it was rosewood, but it's actually dark roasted maple with a Palfaro fretboard and a really high output P90. And it was just, I've just got to try it. And I was demoing the Wazer Airs all weekend and ended up using it solidly for basically every single demo for 2 days. And then at the end of it, I was just like, well, it's just my guitar now, isn't it?
just got to have it.
It was great. I mean, you know, and I restrung it today, because it definitely, I thought, probably we should restring it. It's been played by a lot of people over the weekend. And just spec-wise, you just forget how good they are for the money. What was interesting was my colleague Mark, who he only plays Music Man guitars, and he sort of was playing, oh, it feels like a Music Man. You know, it's got that sort of same satin finish.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Almost like gunstock oil finished neck. And he'd played it for a bit. I was like, oh, this guitar's amazing. And I was like, yeah, it's not bad for 700 quid. And he had them pegged at like $2,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I think if you were to, you take away what we know about Reverend and actually just looked at their guitars, I really think it would be, that's not too ridiculous. It's a unique shape, incredible finish. The necks are always high quality. The hardware's amazing.
The killer thing for me about always about the Reverend stuff, and whether this is Reverend themselves, which I suspect it is, but I think also probably is some of it's down to Merchant City, is that all the guitars are incredibly set up. Like,
yeah.
And actually, you know, I do think a lot of it's down to Reverend, because even that second hand one that I bought, the Charger 290, it just played so well. And the guy had it for a few years, because it was one of the original ones with the slightly different pickguard and slightly different control layout. Just the build quality is amazing, but it is that neck. It's how the edges of the fretboard are rolled. It's the quality of the fretwork. Just all of that just feels absolutely amazing. And they feel like Matt's colleague said, they feel like an expensive boutique guitar, yeah, but then they're, you know, £600-700. Amazing.
Yeah, they are. Oh God, even this conversation is making me want
to. I'm on the website right now.
I think the, you know, for me, like, you go on their website and you run down the spec and you're like, they are, you know, they've really thought about every little bit. I mean, you know, custom jack plate. It's not just like an off the shelf one. It's got the Revan logo on. 6-bolt neck plate, so again, you know, that's not off the shelf. And one thing I hadn't really ever clocked before was the triple tree string tree that goes across the low three strings, rather than doing two across the upper strings. Obviously, it's got the reverse headstock.
Oh, okay, yeah, of course.
So, yeah, it was just great. And then obviously the Wilkinson Trem, the way they've set this particular one up is it's like super, super smooth, but you can effectively like dive bomb it because you've got locking tuners, stays in tune really, really well.
Yeah.
But what I really liked is the pickup. I wasn't sure, you know, how I'd get on with such a high output pickup. It's like 13.3K. So it's like really, really high output. But what's interesting is because obviously all the Revans have the bass contour, you know, if it gets a bit boomy, you can just roll off a little bit more of that bass.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the bass contour.
So is there three knobs, volume, tone and bass contour?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. So yeah, for me it felt like,
let me turn that off.
What?
A bass contour. Turn all the bass off.
All the bass
don't
off.
Don't want any of the bass on at all.
No, right, bass
I agree.
At all.
Take the bottom two strings off. Much better.
do what that guy from Crazy Town did and just never have a high E string.
High E or low E?
High E.
Never had a high E string.
Never had a high E
string. No, it would be like...
That's the best string.
What was the dude's name? You talk and I'm going to look this
John
up.
John Frusciante.
Okay. I mean, John Frusciante definitely needs a high E string.
He was he played on that. He played that lick, didn't he?
Yes, bow, something like that. Bow, bow, band members. Bow. His name.
That song is a Red Hot Chili Peppers song,
yeah,
that
I know.
They took the riff from.
I know. It's John. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's John Frusciante, isn't it?
I don't think they sampled it though.
It was also
he wrote that lick.
Oh right, sorry, I thought you meant.
I assume he was playing guitar at that point.
Yeah. He's always on.
But yeah, all in all, just a great guitar, and especially if you're after like a kind of Les Paul Junior type vibe, but want something a bit different. I just think for £700, you just can't go wrong.
Yeah,
absolutely great guitar.
They were definitely, yeah, absolutely incredibly cool. It was also lovely to meet Ken. From
yes,
Reverend as well.
Yes.
He was over from the States. So that was...
Super tall man.
Yeah, he was
about 6'5".
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, 6'9" of guitar geekery right there. He was he was absolutely brilliant. Loved the brand, loved everything he was doing, and was you know, double my height.
Yeah, and one thing I didn't realise, because I asked him, I was like, how long... Because obviously we've been talking about Reverend for a while. How long Reverend's actually been going? He was like 23 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
I had no idea, and he was like, "Oh, there's some cool." He was, you know, he was a listener of the podcast, and he was like, "Oh, yeah,
really?
I've seen the video and stuff like that." Yeah, yeah,
cool.
And he like what we do, and you know, whether the I'm guessing I don't know how the suggestion of the pink guitars came about, because I'm sure when we talked to Merchant City before, they were like,
"Mate, come on, don't
every pink guitar
us.
That comes out is us." What are you talking about?
Yeah, always.
Now, a brand who you haven't yet to convinced to release a pink guitar.
Just before you go down that route, I need to ask Matt an important question.
Yes.
Matt, if it's one in, is it one out?
Yeah. Yes. It is.
So what's going?
I think I'm sure I said on the podcast before, maybe I didn't, but I think I've decided to sell the Charvel. I honestly
DK 24.
I got it.
Wow.
Okay. I got it last February, and like I said, I actually think it's an amazing guitar and it's incredibly well spec, but it's just not the kind of guitar that I've realized it plays great, it sounds great, but it's not a guitar that I just play all the time.
I just don't think it's a good guitar.
You're out of order.
I think if you're like, you know, if you're sort of, you know, more of a rock lead, like shreddy kind of player.
Yeah.
They're actually really, really good. But for me, it's like, I just can't get the best out of it.
Yeah.
So I think I've decided to sort of move that on. I played it quite a bit and I took it to demos at the Fuzz Guitar Show and a couple of other ones over the summer. And then I was like, I just haven't really played it for like 6 months.
It's it's a shame it's not the Paisley Strat that you're moving on.
Never.
Why? Would you want to buy it?
I'd buy it, yeah. Right, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah.
I was so annoyed when Matty bought that because I was there at the time.
Oh, really?
And he got there before me.
Oh, Yeah, a wonderful guitar. A wonderful guitar. Well bought. Well done, Matthew. Now, another brand that we checked out that were fantastic was Eastman. And me and Mark were absolutely gutted that the new junior style guitars haven't landed yet.
I think also
I was so excited.
The chap on the booth, whose name escapes me at the moment, I think he was also gutted because pretty much everyone had come up to the booth and was like, oh, "Have you got the new juniors then? The, you know, single cut junior, double cut junior? No, they're not here. They, you know, they announced the classic NAMM stuff. Announced at NAMM, not out till later in the year."
Yeah, that was that was a massive shame. They still have like an awful lot of. They had a load of absolutely fantastic guitars there. It was the first time I'd seen their black sort of custom style single cut as
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. SB, not 56, 55, is it?
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to answer that. But
do you know about a thing called Google? SB57, which is the black with gold hardware, the sort of like Black Beauty, yeah. Gibson...
Oh, that was absolutely lovely. I just think things that Eastman do really well are that sort of hand rubbed finish, the light lacquer checking, the sort of tarnishing of the gloss. The finishing on all of the Eastman stuff is just brilliant. I thought on the black when you get that sort of matte look, but matte through wear, it just it looks fantastic, and I thought they were brilliant. So it's such a shame to not see the juniors. But
I actually really like their Jazzer, and I'm looking on their website now, and I can't find what model that is.
They have quite a few different Jazz models, and they've actually started expanding recently to do sort of weird offset or more modern style Jazz guitars. They introduced some interesting F holes, which were like double. They were kind of eclipse, sort of circular. Long circles. What are long circles called?
Ellipses.
Ellipses. I said eclipse. I meant ellipse. There we go.
A total eclipse of the fart.
I think the one they had there was the L Ray, which is their kind of, yeah, that sort of weird sort of uber modern looking sort of Jazzer with one neck pickup on it.
Yeah.
I thought they looked great.
Yeah, they were absolutely fantastic. Now, I'm going to start trying to get through a few more brands here because we've still got a load and I really want to include everyone in this podcast.
Thankfully, the Patreon episode is going to be, as we've listed the last couple of weeks, it's Gear of the Decade.
It is Gear of the Decade,
It tends to be quite a short episode, so it's no worries. We'll probably be done by Friday.
This will be extra long. Okay, so the next thing was my absolute favourite thing, officially favourite thing from the Guitar Show UK 2020, other than the bar. No, the bar wasn't that good. It was the Guinness was expensive and they only had one type of tequila. It was £5. And it's £2.50 for a tequila, which I thought
was
expensive.
Why are you drinking? What, what time were you there until?
4:30.
Why are you drinking tequila at 4:30?
I had a really long train journey ahead of me. Anyway, so my absolute favourite thing was the Iverson Fillmore that was there. That was actually announced at the guitar show. It was the first time it had been on display. So the Fillmore was from Iverson. Iverson are a guitar company that make fantastic junior style guitars in single and double cut, and that really is the bread and butter of the company. We've spoken about them a bit before.
They're the ones with the name that we struggle to read.
Yes, because I couldn't find them for ages because I was like, I can't find Iverson anywhere, and I tried like Iverson. I tried.
Can you
Iowison.
Stop talking, please? Because Mark has got a picture up on his screen that looks absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Oh, this is what the Fillmore is.
Yes.
So that's the Fillmore. The Fillmore.
This looks amazing.
Is a coronet. It's called the Fillmore because it's a tribute to
Fillmore,
to
the guy who invented the coronet,
to Iverson's hero Steve Marriott, and he actually took this. The measurements are taken from his friend's 63 coronet. He's gone for mahogany body, rosewood fingerboard. He's offering it in two thicknesses as well, which is quite nice. So you can get a thick or a thin version of the coronet, either sort of in line with the common modification of the coronet or the original, which is very, very cool. Single P90 in the bridge in this. He did this one in shoreline gold with a double-sided white scratch plate, and it looked absolutely
yeah. I mean, that looks amazing,
incredible.
How much are they?
I believe
they start at $2,299.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that. So I mean, they're cheaper than satellite. Yeah.
Where else are you going to get a coronet? Like,
well,
satellite,
this is the thing. Is satellite. So satellite. My understanding, and I'm sure I've read, just looking on their website to try and see if I could confirm what I thought, but I'm pretty sure the satellite actually bought the patent or something.
Right. Oh, really?
I'm just having a look here. I think they bought the patent for the coronet when it expired, which is why they're able to build it and call it the coronet.
I see.
But anyway, that aside, that looks fantastic.
It's absolutely fantastic.
So when I was over at NAMM, we went to Guitar Center on Sunset Boulevard or Hollywood Boulevard, wherever it is. And they had a couple of coronets in there, and they're so much money.
Right.
So much money. So just, you know, these seem like a decent, it seems like a decent price for them. Do you know what I mean?
It's a decent price for an incredibly built guitar.
Yeah.
Some great options from the shop anyway as well. Like if, you know, depending on what you want to do with it. And the thing for me with Iverson, and this is a big thing for me with these sort of retro style guitars, absolutely nailed the headstock.
Right.
A really, really nice headstock, which I mentioned to them when I was there, that it was a really good headstock. And it's a really interesting story about how he came up with the design based on a silhouetted photograph of Marilyn Monroe. And that's how he did the he based the cut of the headstock on either side,
right.
which is such a wonderful story. When I was like talking about the fact that, oh, I genuinely do care about a headstock on a Gibson style guitar. Like, how do you nail a Gibson's style headstock without being far too Gibson-y? I thought it was great that there was a decent story with that. Sorry, that was my computer beeping because I'd clicked on a picture of the Fillmore that had taken me to Facebook, and everyone's contacted me there. So yeah. I apologize. Anyway, the Iverson guitars. Did you have a chance to check them out?
Did not have a chance. Again, one of those booths that I wanted to get to, and then every time I went past it, I'd probably did about 8 laps of the venue by that point. Always really busy. Couldn't get to it.
Yeah. So have they got any UK retailers?
No, you know? So you buy them directly off of the site because it's all custom builds. He just had some cool examples of the stuff he had there. So he had a lovely Double Cut Junior, but also he's recently introduced it's not quite a Les Paul, it's not quite a Junior. So it has a bit of a carve on top, but not quite a full carve. And then it's kind of got a bit of that 50s rock and roll vibe. So it's an incredibly lacquer-checked metallic gold top with a lovely, like, tiger stripe scratch plate, but also matching tiger stripe truss rod cover on the headstock. And it has that sort of Billy Joe, you know, sort of 50s rockabilly vibe to it. It's very, very cool. But that really tucked in on the bit where you put your leg, you know, the bit where it goes in the middle.
I usually put my legs in my trousers. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying.
What are you talking about?
It's like thin. It's like it's been squeezed thinner.
The waist of the guitar.
Thank you. That's
where you put your legs. You know, where you put your legs.
Where it rests on your leg.
I really wonder about you sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's fine. But yeah, But a fantastic other model. We also checked out Gordon Smith, speaking of Les Paul Juniors, which of course have a fantastic range of guitars.
I'm not sure they'd appreciate that segue.
Oh, yeah.
It's another booth that I just couldn't get to.
What did you do?
I told you, he left,
you got there,
2 hours after he left.
Went straight to go and buy a coffee.
I did not buy a coffee.
Went
I didn't go to the bar.
Straight to the coffee.
I spent longer because I went to the bar. I went to the bar and the bar was at 10 a.m. The bar was shut. I was like rattling on the case.
Joe was like smashing his head against
Weatherspoons.
They didn't open the bar till midday.
Of course they didn't, because you're supposed to be a grown up. Also, liquor licenses are very complicated.
Yeah, it was weird. When we got there, Joe just started smashing his head against the shutters. It was really like
awesome. Smashing my head. I like was rattling the shutters.
Hello, please. His booze sense was tingling. His skin was just vibrating because he was so close to
it. It's weird. He did that thing like, what's his name? A bit like Clarissa Explains It All or Tombs from The X-Files, where he just sort of liquidized himself and he went through the bar and
like the Terminator 2.
Yeah, exactly that. T2000.
I prefer the Tombs from the X-Files.
DT2000. Yeah. You know, I know my stuff.
It was vintage.
Yeah. Should we end this podcast? We feel like I've been going on. It's like three hours long, isn't it?
I know, but we've got so many things to talk about. Can we get in a handful more things? Because we do have time. There is time. We're not overrunning. We're not overrunning just yet. So Gordon Smith, they have some fantastic single and no cut Les Paul Juniors.
Yeah, these aren't new though. We saw them at the last show that we went to.
Did we?
Yeah, we saw them at the London Guitar Show.
Joe wasn't there.
I wasn't there.
Oh well, that's why. Right. Yeah, they look super cool. They're very traditional in the.
But they've done modern colours.
Yeah. Well, you say modern colours. They're like. You know, like
pastel colours.
Yeah, 50s colours.
Yes. Yes. Non-modern at all.
But, you know, really modern colours from the 50s.
You know, like Fiesta Red and, Daffy Blue. Classic.
The No Cut Junior is not available on the Gordon Smith website. I can't find it anywhere.
It should be. Yeah, they're available everywhere.
Their website. I was looking earlier because despite them being neighbours to us, I only kept looking over the booth and didn't actually get a chance to even go and play a couple. But they had, the one that caught my eye was some sort of S-type shell pink HSS guitar that basically looked like the Charvel. And I was like, I wonder what that guitar is. I need to find out about it now. And I've gone on their website and their shop has very little about all of the new stuff I've seen over the last sort of six months.
Yeah, virtually nothing, which is a little bit of a shame, really. But yeah, they were very cool, especially like a no-cut Les Paul Jr., pastel blue single P90.
Yeah.
I mean, and judging by Gordon Smith's prices, it's probably going to be £700.
Actually, heading up, they were actually more expensive than that. And I was going to say, if you want to find what guitars they were, Merchant City Music at guitar.co.uk actually have them in stock. And they actually have one in shell pink.
They're a bit more money, aren't they? Like $899.
They are
like
$899, yes.
Another interesting thing that Gordon Smith had released was a Charvel DK24.
Yeah. Well, the S style that Matt was just talking about.
Yeah, the one I literally just talked about.
Oh, I thought you were saying...
No, I was thinking about drinking something.
No, I thought you were saying the no cut. I didn't realise you were saying that I missed S style. I apologise.
he was trying to be diplomatic because I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I'm trying to avoid saying Strat because...
Yes, right. I don't understand what S-style means. Just say Strat.
You've only been doing this podcast for 7 years.
Okay.
So, getting to you, mate.
So, is that just this podcast, Matt? You mean this episode?
Yeah.
So moving on from Gordon Smith.
From taking the piss out of me.
Anna Sounds were there. As they are every year, and this year with the Spinner, which we haven't got round to talking about.
It's been on a list of news to talk about since the first week of January.
I think it's been listed at one of us to talk about at least once.
I think it's because none of us really understood fully how it worked, I went and had quite a lengthy demo on it. So, what about you, Matt?
What were they close to the bar?
I was going to say you actually had a demo because I've been reading the press release for the last 2 or 3 weeks, so I know exactly. how to do it. So if you've had the demo, then you go ahead.
Well, yeah. I was quite a few drinks in by the time I was there, so I might need your help.
Do you want me to do it?
It was 10:45.
But it was absolutely fantastic. So the Spinner is used as an expression control for the new Anna Sounds Tremolo, and this is the Spinner itself. There's a picture of it on our Instagram. Comes with a kind of a large disc on the front of the pedal.
It looks like a Tazo.
Yeah, a bit like a Tazo.
It's very like a fidget spinner.
Yeah, it's very thick and very substantial and quite wide. And the idea is that it's robust enough that you can kick it. So you can kick it into motion, and this motion will work as it would anything spinny that you flip around. So it will go quickly, and then it will gradually slow down. And it works on a light sensor in the pedal. So as the arms of the spinner are you know, blocking the light on the sensor of this pedal, that will activate with your tremolo in order to create a kind of, rather than a consistent sound, it will speed up and gradually slow down.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly interesting. And you can have that do anything from, you know, the absolute extremes to being quite a subtle, mellow thing. So, yeah, it was an incredibly original take on expression via tremolo.
I do like that sort of thing, just like something very tactile and very different.
Yeah.
Incredibly different.
Really easy to make weird sounds with, and I feel like this is something that Anasound have been going after recently since they introduced, obviously, their three tiers of reverb.
Yeah, yeah.
The
it's all very, in a world where like a lot of pedals are digital and, you know, still great pedals, but the fact that they've made things recently that are like more hands-on than any other pedal I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I think is pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think they've got plans to sort of make their other pedals in the future sort of compatible with that particular expression, because obviously the Spinner will only work with their Ages Trem or their Silver Trem. You can't use it as an expression pedal for other things.
Yes.
Oh, that's strange.
Okay. Yeah, it does have to be used with that. But an absolutely fantastic pedal. I had an awful lot of fun.
It's designed to, I think, because obviously they've built these trem pedals with this expression thing in mind. So it's designed to be, you know, I think kind of really work hand in hand, because I thought the same thing, but I think the way that they've, I mean, who knows, maybe they'll be able to integrate it, but maybe it doesn't output in the same way that another expression pedal would, or another pedal that might be able to kind of work properly. And again, you know, if you're, you know, trem is on and off, and if the sensor is on and off, there's not many expression. It's not like a wah pedal or something, is it, where you're going from 0 to 100? You know, so many pedals would just go from the slowest speed to the fastest speed, which would be very weird if you were doing like a phaser or tempo on a delay. It just went from 0 milliseconds to like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Very bizarre.
But it certainly was, I thought, really cool, really original. And the Anasound's pedals aren't very expensive, so absolutely something worth getting involved in.
And actually, one other thing that I think the guys that Anasound are doing really well is they're doing a lot of masterclasses at all these events. They're now doing pedal build masterclasses.
That's cool. I didn't know that at all.
Very cool.
Yeah, yes. Really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you could build one of their, I think you could build a boost pedal at the Birmingham Guitar Show, which I thought was
That's really cool.
Nice.
Yes, when I checked this out, Alexander was actually over there doing that in-house thing.
But when are you going to start doing that, Matty? Build your own MT2.
Yeah, well, I was actually saying to... Who was I talking to? I think I was talking to Phil from Pedal Patch about this, that when I was actually living out in Japan, we did, just before I left, about a week before I left, we did a fan event where it was build your own DS1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so everyone got like an unfinished DS1, got the circuit board, put everything together. And then they all had, there was 20, and the serial number was fan 2017-001 all the way up to 020. I was like, man, they're instantly like
so collectible
boss pedal out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, unfortunately I wasn't allowed to make one, but yeah, if you ever come across one in Japan, there are 20 unfinished DS1s with an official serial number of fan 2017, so that's look out for cool. those.
Get it bought.
I certainly am.
Very cool indeed. Now I've just got three more things. Can we get through three more?
Only if you promise not to do what you do every week on Gear of the Decade and try and be tactical,
right,
and political.
Be correct, you mean?
Just be like, look, be when correct. We start talking about these weird proto bases made out of twigs, and we have to say, no, Joe, you need to stop.
Okay, I promise. Okay.
No right. twig bases
so,
this week.
The number one aluminium guitar company out of the UK, Drewman Guitars, were there, and it's the first time I got to see them. Matt or Mark, did you get to check out Drewman Guitars? Okay, so I've been checking these guys out for a little while on Instagram and their website. Instagram seems to be where they sell the bulk of their guitars. But trying to find, like, you know, an aluminium guitar company in the UK, so you're not like... I've been really thinking about getting something recently in aluminium. And if I'm looking at America, I'm looking at a Travis Bean, you know, a secondhand Travis Bean, which is so much money, or an electrical guitar company, which, again, are even more money. You know, they're sort of, you know, you're looking at $3,000 plus. You've got TT Tides in Luxembourg, but in the UK, you've got Drummond guitars. Now, they...
Is this a Spider-Man issue? Is it Drewman or Drummond?
It's Drummond. I think his surname is Drummond.
Okay, got it.
I assume that's what it is anyway. So these Drummond aluminium guitars were absolutely fantastic. They had an aluminium flying V with a matching plate and neck.
That sounds great.
Which was so cool. It's ridiculously cool. But that was actually their first foray into doing a neck as well, because normally they're wooden necks, which is how they managed to keep the price down so much on these. So they do like these little Les Paul style bodies, slightly more modern. You know, a little bit more dinky, but their Jaguar bodies are the most interesting. And they were showing me how they make those. So almost the reverse of Travis Bean's, where Travis Bean's were the neck and the rear pan of the guitar. These are the front pan of the guitar, and then they kind of bolt a metal sheet onto the back.
So right.
The front pan is where they have all of the, I guess the sort of resonance discs and things, you know, the sort of, that like what Gibson do when they're cutting holes in Les Pauls to make them lighter.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what these guitars are kind of full of, to increase the resonance in them.
Yeah.
But fantastic, like Jaguar Jazzmaster style shapes with wooden necks. And you can actually buy from them just the bodies on their own and then fit your own neck, which is a really affordable way of doing it, because you can get the body for sub £1,000.
Yeah.
From Drummond guitars, which I thought was... really, really good. But Telecasters as well. They had some Telecaster body shapes there, but just absolutely really excited to see what they do. Recently, next, they said they're going to be looking at doing baritones. I was trying to talk them into doing a bass, but, you know, it's not quite on their radar yet. But
they're going to do some guitars purely made out of avocado.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't know what you're saying or where that's come from. But yeah,
different materials,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. But man, I'm been listening to a lot of shellac recently, and it's really intensifying my desire for something made out of metal. But yeah, so Drummond guitars, I'm
you know, regular guitars have bits that are made out of metal.
I want more metal.
Okay, fine.
Like Dean or something.
No, like
Dimer flange.
No, I want it to be like
Schecter, Omen, Extreme.
I want my hands to stick to it when I play in cold weather. That's what I want.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's what I'm after.
Get yourself some like super glue. Just cover a bass neck in super glue.
Yeah,
that'll do
it. I could do that. Okay, so next thing, Dover Amps. Who got to check out Dover Amps?
I did.
You checked out Dover Amps?
Yes.
Oh, Matt, did you check out Dover Amps?
I walked past them, but yeah, I had very little time because I had to work. So I had very little time to actually see anything. So I walked past and saw them. They looked very cool.
Yeah, Dover Amps. I can't remember if it was actually their launch key from Dover Amps.
It was
there. Yeah, so, oh my goodness. They were absolutely fantastic. So there was a 50-watt head, a 20-watt head, 20-watt combo, and pedal board amps as well, available for both bass and guitar. And they also do a bass head that wasn't there. And they do cabs. So Key, who runs Dover Amps, used to work at Hiwatt, used to make Hiwatt amplifiers, and he's very much brought that British boutique, extreme high quality into Dover Amps. But he's managed to do it at an affordable price point, which is outrageous.
And the thing that I like the most about them is you'd be hard pushed to tell what they sound like from how they look.
Right.
They've got very much a kind of modern look to them, but they're not like... overly metal, you know. They've got just little touches like recessed badge on the front.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like some kind of vintage amps and stuff where they've just stuck a badge on there, you find that, you know, if you catch it, the badge pops off and it's gone forever.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like recessed into the front plate. And there's just a few little kind of design tweaks on there that make it look like a very clean, very modern amp. But obviously it's based on a classic design. Yeah. You know, it's very much based around that kind of high watt design. The wiring inside looked so clean.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Stealth wiring.
Yeah, stealth wiring. Indeed. And yeah, they look and sound fantastic.
Absolutely. So I was there on sound. So they were also white, very much in line with the White Cliffs of Dover, which is also behind the name of Dover Amps, based on something that Key's grandfather had said to him about, who was an RAF pilot,
yeah,
about when he was flying back across the White Cliffs of Dover at the end of the Second World War. And it was a lovely story behind the name as well. But certainly I agree, these amps were very broad. I thought they could do a metal thing, but they could also very much be quite traditional. So I was in there playing SMP guitars, which traditionally have been quite modern, but SMP have recently introduced a range of Telecaster style guitars. The quality of the necks on that, like the quality of wood SMP are using, is absolutely amazing. The bird's eye maple on those necks was unbelievably good. Like, I don't know where he's getting these woods, because they were fantastic. But I sat down to play one of the Telecasters, and it was gorgeous. It was wonderful. It played amazingly. But I became aware, it was the noisy time, so I could play through the amp.
The whole thing was the noisy time.
Well, yeah, true. But I became aware that it wasn't just, you know, the guitar that was sounding so good. It was this amp that at the time, I didn't know anything about Dover amps. It was just Dover amps were next to SMP. And it was then that I became aware that this amp sounded absolutely fantastic, even in the noisy environment we were in. I was like, this is an absolutely wonderful piece of kit.
That's classic kind of high watt sound, though, isn't it? Like really cutting through,
yeah,
you know, that very distinctive sound. Yeah, the Dover stuff's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, listener, absolutely check out Dover Amps. If they've just launched as a company, they're incredibly new. The prices are absolutely right on those amplifiers. I can see them getting bigger and bigger every year, because Key was a wonderful fella, and the amps themselves absolutely blew me away. Woo! I think,
is that, are we done? Is that,
I'm sorry, everyone. Yes, I've really, really pushed you guys this week, but we are drawing to the end of this week's free episode.
Now we've just got to talk for an hour about what was best in 2014.
There is so many more things I want to talk about this guitar show. It's one of the best guitar shows that I've been to in a long, long time.
We'll be here next week.
We will be. Maybe I'll talk about some more stuff then. But yeah, there are so many things I want to buy. So many things. I want an Iverson Fillmore. I want a Millimetric. I don't know what to
do. Would they do a Fillmore in Shell Pink?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
Sorry?
I'm sure he will.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
Yes, but I think I want a Millimetric bass. The MB4. No, in black. But I think I want one. Anyway, we're going to go over and do our Patreon, so you can listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can also find it in the description of this podcast episode. This week on the Patreon episode, it's going to be, what, the fourth, the fifth in our 10-part Guitar of the Decade series.
Are we really only halfway through?
Yes,
that's right. We're 2014 we're doing this week, so that's going to be a bucket of fun. It's going to be a bucket of fun. And anyway, yes, to become a Patreon supporter, it costs only $1 a month, and you can enjoy the podcast ad-free and early every week. At the $5 tier, you can enjoy an entire extra episode, like Gear of the Decade, plus you've got access to our entire back catalogue of mini-series like Question Hole, Barchords, and the Friday Specials. And at the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer and enjoy all these benefits, plus the prestigious honour of having your name featured in our podcast outro song, which I will sing for you, and the glorious return of the podcast outro song as I've got my computer fixed. Anyway, you can follow us on all the major social channels with @GuitarNerds, and you can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/GuitarNerdsForum. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes, I'm back. Back second crack for another Guitar Nerds extravaganza song. Here we go. Schultzy, Michael Howe, Ryan Ein-
Winslet, every wax, and Eric Himmel, Mario Duran, Brian Mainzer, Gavin Lindin, Jacob McGee, Marcus Alcoraki, Stuart Robson, Robert Butterworth, Neil Milton, Rob Barstow, Christian Lund Hansen, Keith Adams, Eric Fire, Andrew Good, Marin Peters, Richard Sudworth, Jake Cutmore, Jenny Kemp, Matthew King. Like it's on Aaron Sherman, Rob Grant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Emmy James Baker, Martin Cliff and Matt Bellamy, Jake Gray and Blake Wyland, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Loseth, Hans Ams, Derek Rich and Rob Nordvik, Steve Merkel, J.D. Short, Robin Smith, Connors Mancha, Brad Page, Andy McKenzie, Scott O'Brien, Paul Corrigan,